Hello and welcome to The Apple Seed. We're on a break while we work on a new season, but Sam Payne in season 8 will be back October 24th. For now, hi, I'm Kira Van Dam. I'm one of the producers of The Apple Seed, and today we're excited to bring you an episode from BYU radio podcast, Constant Wonder Kids. If you like animals as much as I do, you're going to love this. Here's Paige, host of Constant Wonder Kids, with an episode called Standing Up for Scary Sharks.
Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hey, Wonder Kids, it's Paige. Imagine that you're swimming in the ocean and you see a big shark approaching you. It's getting closer and closer. Whew, that's pretty scary. There are some animals out there that might seem scary to us, and sharks are definitely on that list for me. But today we're going to talk to someone who's gotten to know sharks, and it turns out most of them aren't even a danger to humans. In fact, they might even need our help. Our friend Rachel Graham is a shark researcher with the Save Our Seas Foundation and the founder and director of Mar Alliance, two awesome organizations dedicated to keeping our oceans clean and safe. As a shark researcher, Rachel has discovered new kinds of sharks that people didn't even know existed, and she's learned how to track where different sharks swim over their lifetimes. She even realized that sharks have personalities too, and sometimes funny ones at that.
Sharks, oh my goodness, sharks do make me laugh. You know, they do have different characters, and I've had the really good fortune of coming across some sharks that are a little bit more bold and curious and others that are a little more timid.
One of these bold and curious sharks was a whale shark that Rachel met in the Caribbean. Whale sharks are gigantic creatures. They can grow to be the size of a school bus. And this particular silly shark had a habit of poking his big face into Rachel's belly. So she gave him the nickname Mr. Facey.
Oh, Mr. Facey. Ah, yes. What an amazing whale shark. So whale sharks can be quite curious, and they're certainly not really scared of anybody. One day, he was about 18, 20 feet long. One whale shark came up. He was a juvenile male and maybe looking for a date, who knows? But he came up and decided to swim directly towards my two assistants at the time. And he kind of looked at them, gave them the small eye, an eye, by the way, which is indeed very small. And it's a little bit spooky because they can roll their eyes back into their head. No kidding. And he decided, okay, I've seen enough of them, and swam over to me. And I'm there with my camera gear and everything. And he proceeds to park his snout right in my belly. And we're at 70 feet deep. I'm thinking, this is a very odd first date. And he just sits there.
Rachel was stuck with a shark against her belly. She looked down at his big head and small eyes and decided to make up a conversation. What would Mr. Facey say to her if he could speak?
I love to do my Mr. Facey talk, which is,
hello, what's this?
And I'm kind of like, dude, really, I need to kind of move away from here. But he wouldn't let me go down or move to the side. So I ended up having to climb over his head. And that meant that I was literally crawling on the top of his lovely 5-foot broad head that's speckled with white dots and just lovely, lovely design, and pushing off of his first dorsal fin. And do you know what? He just hung in the water with this kind of like, where'd she go? Huh, where'd you go? And then he's like, oh, there you are. And he'd swim back around and he'd do the same thing to me again. And he did this 3 times until I practically ran out of air. And I found I had to go up to the surface. So they can be very curious, but it was interesting that he did that to me, not to the assistants. And I love Mr. Facey, and we've seen him occasionally around the Western Caribbean.
But how did Rachel know that the whale shark she saw around the Caribbean was actually Mr. Facey? I mean, he couldn't be the only silly shark out there, could he? The answer was simple. She recognized the spots on the side of his body.
Mr. Facey and every other whale shark out there has a unique spot pattern on the side of its body, almost like a thumbprint to identify every individual. And because of that, we know we have about 2,200 whale sharks in the Western Atlantic. But really, they pose no threat to people. And so it's a wonderful intro to the world of sharks to be able to actually meet a whale shark in person, because there you're overwhelmed with size, beauty, grace, like Mr. Facey, great curiosity.
Rachel also met other whale sharks during her trips to the Caribbean, and some of them weren't as playful as Mr. Facey. One whale shark didn't want anything to do with Rachel, even though it swam right over her head. It acted like it was afraid of her.
I mean, all 25 feet of it just swam directly over my head. I couldn't help myself. I wanted to touch it. So I lifted up my hand to try and touch its belly. And this is an animal, it couldn't even see me anymore. Its eyes are, you know, 12 feet down the other way. And yet it sucked in its stomach. It could feel where my hand was. It sucked in its stomach, its belly. And it just made an indentation of where my hand would be, so I could never actually touch it. And it just silently glided over my hand. And every time I tried to lift my hand higher to touch it, it would just suck in its belly a little bit more until it had swum away. And I said, I'm hooked. I love these whale sharks.
Whale sharks aren't the only sharks that Rachel has been able to work with. As it turns out, hammerhead sharks are some of her favorites.
Oh, I absolutely love hammerheads. I mean, of course, whale sharks have a special place in my heart, but hammerheads, oh, so well evolved.
Hammerhead sharks are very unique creatures. Their heads are shaped like, well, a hammer, with an eye on each end of its head. But that hammer shape isn't just to make them look tough and scare off predators. Their unique heads have special sensors that tell them when another creature is nearby, even if they can't see that creature. And when their prey does come close, those eyes sticking way out from their bodies help them see better than most sharks can. They love to eat stingrays, and once they've found one using their sensors, hammerhead sharks can also use their wide heads to trap stingrays against the seafloor so that they can eat them. Their hammer-shaped head and those cool sensors sound like superpowers to me. But even with those superpowers, many hammerhead shark species are endangered. Endangered means that an animal is close to extinction, or that there aren't many left of them in the world. Rachel decided to take a trip to Panama to see if there was anything she could do to help protect one of these endangered species, the scalloped hammerhead shark. When she got to Panama, she got a ride from her friend Mauricio White. He's a taxi driver who often drives her around when she's there. But besides driving a taxi, he also likes to fish. For fish, he doesn't expect to catch sharks when he goes fishing.
One day, he was giving me a ride, and he said, guess what? We caught some hammerheads, and they were baby hammerheads, and he's kind of taking his hands off of the wheel, and I'm thinking, don't do that, please, because who knows what we're going to crash into. But he's showing me the size of the hammerheads. I'm getting completely excited because we're looking for nursery sites for these critically endangered scalloped hammerheads wherever we work.
For Rachel, figuring out where hammerhead shark babies are born and raised is key to bringing back species that are dying out. Shark babies are called pups, just like dog babies. And if shark pups are protected and allowed to grow, then the whole shark population will grow too. But that means working with fishermen, like her friend Mauricio, to make sure that these shark nurseries stay protected. Rachel can't always be there to look out for the sharks on her own, so she encourages her friends to protect them too.
So he's telling me about these baby hammerheads, and of course I gingerly ask him, so after you hook them and you pull them out of the water and you're looking at them, and what did you do with them? And he said, well, I released them. And I made my friends release them too. And I said, oh, you did? That's great, because I don't finger point. I don't want to tell people what to do. I want people to make those decisions themselves. He said, We've had so many rides together. I've taken you to the airport back and forth and all the rest. And you always talk sharks and you told me all about hammerheads and everything. And I know how endangered the species is. And there's no way we were going to keep it. Of course, we're going to put it back in the water. And I thought, that's how this happens. When you inspire, you educate, you engage, you get people excited.
Rachel's love for sharks rubbed off on her friend. Once Mauricio learned how important sharks were, not only to Rachel, but to the ocean, he decided there had to be more that he could do to help protect the sharks.
In his spare time when he goes fishing, he's taking down data for us and letting us know what he's finding, what he's seeing, so that we have more eyes, more people, more excited people out there who actually want to conserve their own resources.
Isn't it amazing? Rachel shared her passion for sharks with Mauricio, and now he and his community are excited about sharks too. Being curious has helped her change the way other people view sharks.
So what are you curious about? What are things that kind of make you wonder in the sea? It's many of these questions that have helped drive research around the world, specifically whale shark research. I mean, those basic questions of, are they coming here every year? Is it the same whale sharks? Are they male and female? Are they spawning? Where are they pupping? All these questions have formed the fundament of most of our research. I have never lost that sense of wonder, the sense of curiosity, and yet at the same time, the vast majority of sharks are really not in the least bit interested by people.
It turns out that sharks aren't so bad after all. They're not so scary. They're bold, timid, curious, silly, and above all, full of mystery and wonder.
Every time I'm in the water with a shark, I'm still wowed. That wonder, that excitement never goes away. And by the way, I don't climb on top of whale shark heads anymore. That was just under duress. I had no other option. I try to always tell people, hands off the wildlife, please.
And even though Rachel doesn't climb on top of whale sharks anymore, she's still filled with wonder and curiosity about them.
This is very important to have that sense of wonder and curiosity. And in fact, I think those are two key elements to driving forward my work with sharks on a professional level. Why? Because right now, the state of sharks is very poor indeed. 37% are now threatened with extinction. We have a lot of work to do to try and restore populations and rewild the seas.
Hammerheads and other sharks aren't safe yet. They could still go extinct, and that means no more new baby hammerheads would be born. But Rachel and her friends at Mar Alliance and the Save Our Seas Foundation are doing everything they can to encourage others to protect sharks and ocean habitats everywhere.
Smart and funny wherever they roam. Let's protect their ocean home.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Rachel Graham and her work with sharks. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Advocating for Sharks and Other Scary Creatures, Season 2, Episode 36. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.
There's a lot coming up, but I want to take just a moment and tell you about another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. It's called The Lisa Show. Now, life can be stressful, but Lisa Valentine Clark, the host of The Lisa Show, along with her guests and her unique council of moms, provide a positive and empowering look at all kinds of challenges. They tackle them head on, sharing experiences, offering suggestions on how we can handle relationships and health and technology and body image and family, all kinds of stuff. And Lisa is a great person to hang out with. The Lisa Show, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to The Lisa Show whenever you like. The Lisa Show from BYU Radio.